Please turn in your hymnals to the small catechism on page 321. We're going to recite together the fifth and the sixth commandments. That's page 321 in the front part of your hymnal. What is the fifth commandment?
You shall not murder.
What does this mean? What is the sixth commandment?
You shall not commit adultery.
What does this mean?
We should.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our text are the fifth and the sixth commandments and what we've read from St. Matthew's Gospel, the fifth chapter. Tonight, as we look at these two commandments, we see that God seeks to protect two of the greatest treasures that our Lord gives to us, namely our bodies and our spouses. We should note that the explanation of the commandments teach us to do these things out of fear and love for God. Fear that we do not want to incur God's wrath against us, and love that, as children of our Heavenly Father, we desire to do what He commands. With these words, we also are reminded that to fail in either commandment is to replace God with one of our own choosing. If I seek to do my neighbor harm, I seek to do violence against one made in God's image. If I desire a woman who is not my wife, then I have made her into a god. And so this evening, we pray that God would permit us to examine these two commandments. First, let's look at the fifth commandment. With this commandment, God forbids any sort of harm done to our neighbor. The reason God wants to protect human life, as we've already said, is because we are made in His image. God put a harsh penalty on murder in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 9 when He said, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in His own image." This is what made the crime of Cain such a heinous act. He wasn't just murdering his brother, but in so doing, he was rejecting the God of his creation. This is what happens every time someone is murdered, whether it masquerades under the names of abortion or euthanasia or any other unjust taking of human life. Murder is murder. Now, it's usually at this point in my catechism classes that I usually ask the students to raise their hands to see if anyone in my class has actually murdered anyone, that is, taken someone else's life. And to date, just so you're all in the know about this, not one of my students has actually committed a physical murder, which is good. I'm glad that I haven't had to handle that situation yet. But then we look at the reading for this evening where Jesus says that being angry with your brother is also, or insulting him is also akin to murder. With these words, Jesus shows that the commandment demands more than we simply refrain from walking out our doors and killing the guy that we see first. This commandment even demands our obedience in thoughts and words. In addition to forbidding these things, the commandment also requires us to care for our neighbor's physical needs. So you think of what Jesus says in Matthew 25 when He talks about the sheep and the goats, those who fed Him when He was hungry and those who gave Him something to drink when He was thirsty. Is your neighbor hungry? Well, then feed him. Is your neighbor thirsty? Give him something to drink. God often gives more than we need so that we might share with those who do not have. As we just sang in our hymn, we are to open wide a generous hand and help the poor in the land. This is ultimately the trouble with a state that seeks to provide for those in poverty. It gives our flesh license to be lazy. We think, well, the government will simply take care of them. I pay my taxes. That's enough. That's my contribution. But God has not required these things of our government. Instead, he requires them of us as individual Christians. Now let's turn our attention to the sixth commandment. This commandment, like the fifth commandment, requires more of us than simply refraining from cheating on our spouses. Jesus' words in our reading shows us the real scope of this commandment, that even to look at another person with a lustful intent is adultery. This is where the devil and the world work so hard on our sinful flesh. For it seems wherever we look, whether it's on billboards, on TV or movies, or even on our phones, we are bombarded by images that are meant to entice us into sin. If you've ever shopped for clothes for your daughter, you know how hard it is to find clothes that are even a little bit modest. But this commandment also reveals the great depths of our own depravity. I've often spoken about the increased acceptance of homosexuality in our society, but I've also encountered something of equal or even greater concern among our own youth. As you know, I've been teaching sixth grade religion at our school this year. And when I was talking about tonight's text several weeks ago with the class, I spoke to them about what our God expects of his people. And among those things, I said that God says that we shouldn't live together before marriage, and that intimate relations between a man and a woman are reserved for marriage. Now, you think at a Lutheran school that would be okay, that would fly under the radar. But more than one of the students in class seemed surprised by this. The question was even asked, is this still true today? Does God still expect us to live this way? When I told them that it was, the majority of the class were utterly shocked. They were surprised by that statement. And so the sixth commandment is not just for married people, but it is also a commandment that calls us to lead chaste lives according to our avoiding sexual impurity of all kinds. This attitude among our youth does not bode well for the future of the church. We are seeing the results of unbiblical divorce and loose sexual morality bearing fruit even in our own church. This brings us to a point that must be made about both of these commandments. Legality does not make something moral. And this is an important one. Just because something is permitted by law does not make it right. As we've seen states liberalize their abortion laws to include allowing abortion at any point during the pregnancy of a woman for any reason whatsoever, and even the governor of Virginia openly advocating for the right to kill children that survive an abortion attempt, we're likely to see change in the attitudes of people regarding abortion. The same is true for so-called same-sex marriage. If we are not careful, future Christians, maybe even our own children, will have their attitudes changed. They will be persuaded to think that these things are fine simply because the law says that it is okay. Case in point, Christian attitudes regarding divorce have drastically changed since states have allowed for no-fault divorce. This is why some sectors of the church largely ignore Jesus' words about divorce that we heard tonight, that there ought be no divorce outside of the biblical prohibition regarding sexual immorality. With these two commandments, God is seeking to protect the gifts that he gives to us in life and in marriage. The fifth commandment reminds us that God has lovingly made us in his own image. Even more so, it reminds us that his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has taken on our image and innocently suffered violence at the hands of men in order to redeem us from sin and from death. By giving his body to be broken for us on the cross and by pouring out his blood, our Lord Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of sin and death. Likewise, with the sixth commandment, God is seeking to protect and preserve the institution of marriage among us. Just as life is a picture of the incarnation of the Son of God among us, marriage is also a picture of the love of Christ for his bride, the church. When St. Paul describes marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. That means, dear friends in Christ, that every single Christian marriage is a proclamation of the gospel, where Christ came to wash his bride, the church, of every stain of sin and bring her to himself. Your marriages are a proclamation of the gospel to a dying world. With those things in mind, let us pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you created us in your image and bestowed upon us the institution of marriage, whereby you preach the gospel into all the world. Grant us forgiveness for those times that we have not honored these gifts in our actions and how we teach about them to those around us. Preserve these gifts among us that we might reflect your gracious care and love for your creation to our neighbors. In Jesus' name. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.